All right, well, we're there in Proverbs chapter 25. I'd like you to keep your place right there. We're going to come right back to it. But go with me to the book of Acts just real quickly. Keep your finger in Proverbs 25. We're going to come back to it. And go to Acts chapter number 2. And in the New Testament, of course, you've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts chapter number 2. And tonight, I'm dealing with a very specific subject. And I want to try to teach you some things. And I want to help you with some things. I'd love for you to take notes. And you should have a place to write notes on the back of your course of the week. And I don't know if you notice, I don't really talk a lot about it, but there is a system to the way we do things at Verity Baptist Church. I know you know that. How deep those systems go, you may not notice. But when it comes to my preaching, you know, on Sunday mornings, I try to make sure that all of the Sunday morning sermons are highly practical, super practical, meaning something that you can go home and do something with that week. You can go home and apply it to your life right then and there. Now, obviously, every sermon should be practical, but I try to make sure that the Sunday morning sermons are extremely practical. On Wednesday nights was when we do our verse-by-verse studies, where we study through books of the Bible, and we try to find practical applications and teachings from there, but we go verse-by-verse, and we go systematically through books of the Bible. Sunday nights, I like to use Sunday nights as kind of our growth night, and what I mean by that is it's things that are meant for maybe a little bit more of mature Christians or Christians that are trying to go to the next level, and that's where I'll do a lot of the doctrinal-type series on Sunday nights. Like, for example, we just did a 12-week series on the Holy Spirit, and we went through and systematically learned about the Holy Spirit. Or I'll do more specific type teachings, like we learned about the life of Elijah the prophet, and we'll go into deeper things like that. I also like to just give still practical teaching, but practical teaching that's very specific, maybe even more specific than I'd like to go on a Sunday morning, and that's what I'm doing tonight. I want to talk to you about a very specific subject, and right now, where I'm kind of in between series on Sunday night, so I'm taking some opportunities to deal with some specific things. If you remember last week, I talked on some very specific things that you cannot ignore when you are disciplining your children. And tonight, I'd like to deal with another very specific subject. And I'd like everybody to listen up and take some notes and take heed to some of the things that we'll be learning tonight. And I want to talk to you about the subject of fellowship. Now, not just fellowship in general, I'm going to get specific. But let me just say this as we begin tonight, that fellowship is an important aspect of a Christian's spiritual life and spiritual growth. Are you there in Acts chapter 2? I'd like you to look down at verse number 41. In Acts chapter 2, you of course have the great day of Pentecost where many people were saved and baptized. And in verse 41, the Bible says this, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized." So we see these people that were saved, they got baptized. "And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." That's quite a day. Verse 42, I want you to notice what the Bible says in regards to how these people continued and worked in their Christian life. The Bible says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's important. We need to make sure that we have doctrine and we have teaching, that we know what the Bible says and we know what we believe and why we believe it. But notice what he also says. He says, "and fellowship." He says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. I believe that in the Christian life, what we need is we need doctrine and we need fellowship. If we can help people with doctrine and teach them the Bible and help them understand what the Bible says, and if we can help them develop good friendships and relationships within the environment of the local church, then we will have growing Christians. That's one of the reasons, and I don't know if you've noticed this, but one of the reasons that we strive very hard here at Verity Baptist Church to facilitate fellowship. We are constantly having activities and events, and we're having cake and ice cream tonight, you know, and we just had a big ladies' tea event, and we'll do things like that. You say, why do you invest money and time and energy into those things? Because fellowship is important, and we believe that fellowship is needed in the Christian life for spiritual growth. Go back to Proverbs 25. However, like any good thing, you must do everything in moderation. The Bible teaches that there is a such thing as getting too much of a good thing. And I want to show this to you from Scripture. In Proverbs 25 and verse 16, the Bible says this, "Hast thou found honey?" Now look, honey's good. It's a good thing. God promised to give the children of Israel a land flowing with milk and honey. Honey tastes good. It's something that we like. But notice what the Bible says here. It says, "Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee." God says, hey, eat as much as is sufficient. The word sufficient means as is adequate, as you need, as is enough. He says, if you found honey, take as much as you need. Take as much as is adequate. Take as much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it up. He says, look, if you take more, though, than is sufficient, he says, it's going to make you sick. You're going to get filled with it, and you're going to vomit it up. Now, here's what's interesting about this verse, because sometimes when you read the Proverbs, it seems like they're just these random statements, and for the most part, they are. But sometimes these random statements are connected together for our benefit. Here's what's interesting. In Proverbs 25:16, he teaches us this principle of moderation, that there is a such thing as too much of a good thing. And though honey is good, make sure you eat what's adequate, what's enough, what's sufficient, and don't overdo it, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it up. And in that context, we get verse 17. Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee and so hate thee. And the concept that God is teaching us is that though fellowship is a good thing, too much of a good thing can make you sick. He says, look, if you found honey, eat it. It's good. Enjoy it. But when you have too much of it, it'll make you sick. And in that context, he says, withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee and so hate thee. We facilitate fellowship at Verity Baptist Church. We want fellowship. We want you to develop friendships. We want you to develop relationships. We want you to get connected because we believe that when you get connected, it will help you grow in your spiritual life. And look, we have families in our church that invite each other over for dinner. I think that's great. I think that's wonderful. I think it's wonderful to have families over and different families over and get to know them and fellowship with it. We have moms that will meet at parks and fellowship together. I think it's great to be able to get together and have the kids play and fellowship and have those times. We have guys that get together tomorrow, and I think this is great. Tomorrow, I think Brother RJ was mentioning to me, some of the guys are going to get together. They're going to go hiking. I think that's great. I think it's wonderful. I think it's great for Christian people to be able to join together and have time together to fellowship with each other. But what I'd like to speak to you tonight is about the dangers of spending too much time with the same people. And there are some real dangers of getting together with the same people all of the time. And those dangers are very real in a church because of the fact that in a church we get together 3 times a week. We go soul winning together. We have ladies' tea together, and we have men's preaching night together, and we have this event, and we have that event, and we have all this time that there are dangers when we just gather with people too much, and too much of a good thing can make you sick. There are some dangers that arise when you spend too much time with the same people over and over again on a regular basis. And what I'd like to do this tonight is just give you some insight into some of those dangers so that you can be aware of them, so that you can guard against them, so that you can make sure that you don't fall into these dangerous practices. And here's the thing, and I want to make sure I'm clear about this because I don't want somebody to walk away and say that I said something that I never said. And you've got your place there in Proverbs. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. If you kept your place in Acts, I'm not sure if you did, but if you've got Acts, you got Romans and 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Please understand this. I'm all for fellowship. I spend a lot of time and energy in my day developing and planning and doing things to try to help you facilitate fellowship. You say, Pastor, why do you guys spend so much time and energy in the homeschool group? Because these kids need the fellowship. Why do you have so many ladies' activities? Because we want the ladies to fellowship. Why do you have these men's activities? Because we want men to fellowship. Why do you have cake and ice cream? Because we want you to fellowship. We are for fellowship. Fellowship is a good thing. But please understand that too much of a good thing, too much of any good thing, can become very dangerous. And there are dangers in spending too much time with the same people. I want to try to help you with this and help you to understand these things. Now, let me just say this. Obviously, I'm going to apply this to the local church. And I'm not just going to apply it to the local church, although we have many people that listen online from local churches, and this applies to them as well. I'm going to apply this to our local church. But let me just say this. This isn't just church. This applies for your work. This applies at school. This applies in anything where there is a social gathering or a social event. Whenever you gather the same people over and over and over and over again, there are some dangers to spending too much time with the same people. And I'd like you to write these down and have these in life. Are you there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1? Let me just give you the first point. I've got 3 points tonight, and then we'll get to the cake and ice cream. And I'm telling you, I'm not preaching against fellowship, all right? Here's what I don't want. I don't want to say amen, everybody gets up and goes home. Well, that's not fellowship. No. Let's have fellowship, but let's make sure that we are aware of some of the dangers with spending too much time with the same people. Number one, the dangers of spending too much time with the same people. You have the danger of having a close-knit group of friends develop into a clique. You have a danger of having a close-knit group of friends develop into a clique. You say, what's a clique? Well, if you went to high school, you know what a clique is. Because you were probably in one or you weren't in one. You know, sometimes you'll have the jocks, right? They all hang out together. And the cheerleaders. And they all hang out together. And the whatever. And then you got the nerd herd, right? And they all hang out together. And look, and we say those things and those kind of bring up these types of feelings and attitudes. But here's the thing. We have a tendency of wanting to develop into friendships, which is a good thing. But our sinful flesh also has a tendency of wanting to develop those friendships, those close-knit group of friends that God has given us in order to strengthen us in our Christian walk and develop those into something that is unhealthy and into a clique and into a group. And look, when you come to Verity Baptist Church, please understand this. And I realize some of you are young and we love you, but this is not high school. We are not in high school anymore. We don't have these little groups where you hang out over there and you don't talk to us and we don't talk to you. That is unhealthy, and there is a danger in spending too much time with the same people in the sense that you might have a close-knit group of friends. And please understand this. There is nothing wrong with having a close-knit group of friends, but there is something wrong when that close-knit group of friends turns into a clique. Now you say, well, Pastor, how do I know? How do I know if this is becoming unhealthy, if this is becoming a clique and it is unhealthy? Well, are you there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1? Look at verse 12. First of all, I want to show you that this is a common problem. The Apostle Paul dealt with this at the church in Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. Notice what it says. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, there's groups in your church. Some of you say, I am of Paul. And others, I have Apollos, and I have Cephas, and I have Christ. And these people, you know, they had these spiritual leaders, and they were dividing themselves. Well, my favorite preacher is Paul, and my favorite preacher is Apollos, and my favorite preacher is Cephas. And then you have your real ultra-spiritual. These are my favorite. The ultra-spirituals, well, my favorite preacher is Christ, right? And they had these groups. You say, well, is there anything wrong with that? And look, we see this today. I mean, if you don't believe me, go on Facebook and watch people argue about, well, Pastor Anderson said this, and Pastor Perry said that, and Pastor, and you have this stuff even today. I am of Paul, and I am of Paul. And you say, well, is there anything wrong with having a favorite preacher? You know what? There's nothing in the world wrong with having a favorite preacher as long as I'm it. And I'm saying, you know, there's nothing in the world wrong with having a favorite preacher, but there is something wrong with developing into groups that become cliques. You say, well, how do I know? How do I know if my group is becoming a clique? Here's how you know. When your group, now all of a sudden being in that group, pins you against other people. Look at verse 11. Look at the context. In verse 12, he says, I am of Paul, and I have Apollos, and I have Cephas, and I have Christ. In verse 11, he says, for it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. See, the context is these groups that Paul is referring to. I am of Paul, I have Apollos, I have Cephas, and I have Christ. He says, there's nothing wrong with that. He's like, the problem with that is that now you're fighting about it. Now there's contentions about it. Now there's issues about your close-knit group of friends. You say, Pastor Jimenez, how can I identify if I'm in a clique? Here's how you can identify. Is it because I have a close-knit group of friends? Nothing wrong with having a close-knit group of friends. You could call the disciples a close-knit group of friends. You can call the core of the disciples, Peter, James, and John, a close-knit group of friends. But you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. But there is something wrong when your close-knit group of friends all of a sudden turns on other people, has contentions with other people. Your friends means that you can't be friends with certain people. Now there are people in church that I just don't look at. I just don't talk to. I don't even go that way. If they pass by in front of me, I just pretend I don't see them. Hey, if that's you, then yeah, that's wrong. Amen. That's a problem. That's an issue. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Notice what the Apostle Paul says. Look at verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 4. So please, have friends. I want you to have friends, but make sure your close-knit group of friends does not become into a clique. You say, how do I identify a clique? Is it pitting you against others? Is it putting you against others? Is it making it so that you are now having a conflict with other cliques and other groups and other people in church? Notice 1 Corinthians 3, 4. He says, for while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos. Notice what he says. Are you not carnal? He says, you're not spiritual, you're carnal. Look at the context, verse 3. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you, notice the words, envying, we talked about that this morning, and strife, that's talking about arguments, and divisions, that's your cliques. Are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? So here's the thing. You say, I've got a close-knit group of friends. Praise the Lord for it. Friends are hard to come by. Make sure you're a good friend to your friends and make sure you're loyal. But look, as soon as your close-knit group of friends becomes a gang of people that is pinned against other people, now you're in dangerous territory. Now you're in unhealthy territory. And there is a danger. There is a danger of spending too much time with the same people. The danger is of having your close-knit group of friends, which was a good thing and a healthy thing, now become a very violent and dangerous thing because it developed into a clique. So look, have friends, but don't have enemies. Have friends, but don't have enemies within the church. Don't have people that, well, I can't talk to her, and I can't talk to him, and I can't go over there. Look, if you have these thoughts going through your mind, well, if I talk to her, what is so-and-so going to think? You need to grow up. This is not high school. This is not junior high school. We are adults. We are grown men and women of God. Hey, you got to love everybody. You got to accept everybody. We're not talking about the world, and we're not talking about reprobates. We're talking about people in the church. Look, people are odd, and they've got their quirks, and they got their things. But you know what? We got to love the body of Christ. We got to love the people that God loves and that God and Jesus gave himself for. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. If you can find the T-books, they're all clustered together. 1 2 Thessalonians, 1 2 Timothy, Titus. Go to 1 Timothy, 1 2 Thessalonians, and then 1 Timothy. We're talking about the dangers of spending too much time with the same people. Now look, we want you to spend time with people. We want you to fellowship. We want you to get connected. And look, I mean it. I as a pastor, and my wife, as a pastor's wife, we're nervous when people come to church and they don't get connected with other individuals. It makes us nervous. We try to spend time with them and then we try to introduce them to other people because we realize that fellowship and friendship is an important aspect of the Christian life. I remember when I used to work at Wells Fargo Bank. I don't know why today. I'm just telling you all sorts of stories of my previous jobs. But when I used to work at Wells Fargo Bank, I used to work in the business center, and I speak Spanish, so I dealt with the Spanish centers. And they would teach us that we wanted to get as many hooks into these businesses as possible. And this is what they would teach us. They would teach us, look, if someone's going to open up a checking account, we don't just want them to open up a checking account. We want them to open up a savings account. We want them to open up a credit card. We want them to open up online statements. We want them to have this, to have a rewards program, to have this, to have that. We want to get them connected in as many possible ways as possible. And this is what they would tell us. They would tell us, at some point, some teller is going to make some business owner mad. and they're going to want to quit Wells Fargo. But when they look at all, well, man, if I cancel my, I can't just cancel my checking account now, because I got to cancel my savings account, my credit card. I got to cancel the rewards program. I got to cancel that. Just forget it. You know what? In some ways, that's how this church is. We want you to have so many friends and connections and so many people you're connected with and you enjoy, because you know what? At some point, this preacher is going to make you mad. I'm going to say something you don't like. I'm going to say something that's going to offend you. And you're going to get up and you're going to say, well, I'm never coming back here again. But then you're going to think about Sister Susie and Brother So-and-so and all your friends and all your fellowship and all your connections. I guess I'll put up with them. I guess I'll just put up with that guy since I've got all my friends. So look, we want you to connect. We want you to fellowship. We want you to develop friendships. But we don't want those close-knit groups of friends to become a clique or a gang that is pinned against other people. What are the dangers of spending too much time with people? Well, number one, there is a danger of having a close-knit group of friends develop into a clique. Here's number two. There is a danger of getting comfortable enough with someone to participate in sin together. Let me say that again. There is a danger of spending so much time with the same person that you actually get comfortable enough to participate in sin together. Now, let me say this. And there are some major sins that come about this, and these are not the common things, but they happen. Let me just go ahead and say it, because as a pastor, obviously, I want to help our church. This has never happened in our church. I hope it never happens in our church, but I've been a Christian for a long time, and I've been around independent fundamental Baptist churches for a long time, and I know that this happens in churches, but you know, there are major sins like adultery, and I've talked to pastors, and I've never had to deal with it. Thank the Lord. But I've talked to pastors who've had to deal with this drama of adultery within the church, where the husband of somebody's wife and the wife of somebody's husband ended up being together. And again, I hope that never happens here. I hope I never have to deal with that. But you know, every single time it happens, everyone on the back end says, yeah, those two couples were spending too much time together. It's the truth. You say, why? Because people start getting comfortable with each other. They start talking about things that they shouldn't be talking about, making jokes that they shouldn't be making. And you say, oh, this is true. Hey, it happens at work too. Hey, you guys, I realize you work out in the world, and sometimes you have to work alongside women. Don't get too comfortable with some woman that's not your wife. You say, well, I don't have any choice. I have to work with women. Well, you be kind, and you be professional, and you be respectful, but you don't need to be texting. You don't need to be having lunch dates. You don't need to be spending time with a woman that you're not married to. You say, why? Because major sin can come as a result of it. I'm just telling you. I'm just trying to help you as your pastor. There are some dangers to spending. You ladies, you know, you're out there, and you start getting comfortable with guys you're not married to, start having long conversations. Hey, be careful with those things, because major sins can come as a result. There are dangers to spending too much time with people, and there are major sins. Now, look, that's not common. That's not the most common things, but those things happen, and we want to talk about that, and we want to bring that to light. But let me just tell you what's the most common thing that happens when people spend too much time together. It's gossip, where you just spend a lot of time with the same person over and over and over and over, and you just get comfortable with that individual. And you know what that always leads down? If you're not guarding against it, that road always leads to gossip, period. And I don't care how spiritual you are. I don't care how much of a giant of the faith you are. Look, if I spent just tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of time with the same person, I would end up gossiping. Because this is the road it goes down. This is what happens. You say, well, how do we solve it? Don't spend so much time with someone that you're actually comfortable participating in sin with them. And look, when you've crossed that line, where you've gotten so comfortable with someone that you're actually both participating in sin together, that relationship needs to be done. That relationship needs to go. You've gotten too comfortable. You've crossed lines that you shouldn't have crossed. Look, you shouldn't be comfortable sinning with your wife. You shouldn't be comfortable sinning with your husband. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Obviously, your husband and your wife, you should be the people you are the most comfortable with. You're in everything. But look, you should have such a relationship with God. Look, if I ever got backslidden and started doing something stupid, I mean, if I started smoking pot, I'd never ask my wife, you want to smoke this? Because I know where she stands on it. I'd be embarrassed and ashamed. And look, that's how you should be with everybody. When you get to the point, look, when you get to the point where you're smoking pot with your wife, you're too comfortable with your wife. When you get to the point where you're, you know, snorting drugs with your husband, you're just a little too comfortable. I'm glad you guys are having recreational, time together, but that's just a little too much. There are some things that you should be ashamed of and embarrassed about, and there are some dangers in spending too much time with the same people, and the most common danger is that those relationships always go down to gossip. 1 Timothy 5, verse 13, notice what the Bible says, and with all they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house. This is what Paul said. It still happens today. Now it's more like from Facebook page to Facebook page. And not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. And you say, well, Pastor Jimenez, are you saying that we shouldn't spend time with people? I'm not saying that at all. I think you should have fellowship. I think you should have a close-knit relationship and friendships with people. I think it is spiritual. It'll help your spiritual growth. But I will tell you this. If you are spending time with someone and you are openly gossiping, you are spending too much time with that person. Amen. You've gotten too comfortable. You've gone to the point where you're just openly sinning, and you need to back off. Now, let me just help you with this, because people will often say, like, well, how do you know something's gossip? And I preach sermons on this. I preached a sermon about it not too long ago. And let me just go ahead and tell you. I try to give you things to help you remember. Here's how you identify if something is gossip. Is it my place? Is it my problem? Is it my place, meaning do I have authority to be able to deal with this? Is it my problem? Meaning, not like a bad attitude, like, that's not my problem. More like, is it something that's affecting me? If I don't have authority over it, and it's not affecting me, I don't need to know about it. I don't need to hear it. You don't need to come to me if it's not my place, if it's not my problem. I don't need to go to you if it's not your place, if it's not your problem. But let me just explain to you how gossip happens. Because nobody, just starts a relationship by, hey, you want to gossip together? Okay, people get this idea like, oh, Pastor, I'll never gossip. As soon as they tell me they want to gossip, I will stand up. That's not how it happens. Let me tell you how gossip begins. I'm just having a problem. I'm just struggling. I'm just going through something. Please ask me about it. Oh, what's your problem? Well, it's a somebody. And their problem always becomes somebody. And then they always want to talk to you about somebody they're having a problem with. You say, well, people have problems with people. What are they supposed to do? Well, I'm glad you asked. The Bible tells us what you should do. Go to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Look, if you're having a problem with someone, as your pastor, let me help you. I'll tell you exactly what you're supposed to do. Matthew chapter 18, verse number 15. Matthew 18, 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, that's a problem, right? If my brother shall trespass against me, my brother is sinning against me, my brother is doing against me. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell all your friends at the coffee shop. Is that what it says? Go and tell all your girlfriends at the park. Is that what it says? Go and have a family over for dinner and let them know everything that this person is doing against you. Is that what it says? What does it say? If thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his faults. Don't miss this. Some of you need to underline this in your Bible. Memorize it. Between thee and him alone. Amen. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. And there's steps to deal with it. But here's all I'm telling you. Here's all I'm telling you. If someone's coming to you with a, well, I have a problem. Does it involve me? No. Does it affect me? No. Well, don't tell me about it. If it's someone, go to that person. That's what the Bible says. That's what mature Christians do. Amen. And look, you say, well, Pastor, are you just against fellowship? I'm not against fellowship. I'm against cliques. I'm not against fellowship. I'm against gossip. I'm not against fellowship. I am against there being division in the body of Christ. The Bible says there should be no schism in the body. The Bible says that we should love each other. We should care for each other. We need to be out fighting the world and fighting the devil, not fighting each other. There are some dangers. Look, too much of a good thing can become a negative thing. There are some dangers when we spend too much time with people. You say, what are they? Well, one is the danger of having a close-knit group of friends develop into a clique. You say, well, how do I know if it's a clique? If it's pinning you against other people, it's a clique. See, here's the thing. You didn't mind that the cheerleaders hung out together. What you minded was that the cheerleaders made fun of you. You didn't care that the jocks all hung out together. What you cared about is that they kept picking on you. Right? There's nothing wrong with them hanging out together. It's when they hang out together and they become this gang and they pin and they go against other individuals and they become a gang against other people. Look, if your friendship is pinning you against somebody else, that is a bad friendship. That is not a healthy relationship. There is a danger of getting too comfortable and getting so comfortable that you participate in sin together. And listen to me, the most common way that that happens, it's gossip. So you have to, look, you need to just remember, is it my place? Is it my problem? Is it my place? Is it my problem? As a pastor, people come into my office and I've got an issue. And here's what I'm thinking. Is it my place? Is it my problem? If it's not my place and it's not my problem, you know, then I don't want to hear. And obviously, when we counsel people with their personal problems, obviously that's different. People are coming to us with their issues. What I'm telling you is this. We all need to be careful not to go down the road where we're spending too much time and so much time with people that we actually develop into cliques, that we actually begin to participate in sin together. Let me give you a third danger. Go to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. And this is probably, I think this is probably the most important of the points. So if you've not been listening, listen up. The dangers of spending too much time with the same people. Number three, there is a danger of developing a lifestyle that discourages alone time. There is a danger of developing a lifestyle that discourages alone time. We live in a world that is constantly connected. Isn't that true? I mean, you're virtually never alone. We are constantly connected. When you think of TV, when you think of entertainment, when you think of social media, when you think of Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Tumblr and Snapchat and LinkedIn and emails and text messages and phone calls and everything else out there, we are constantly connected with people. But you know what the Bible teaches? That there is great value in alone time. In fact, the Bible teaches, and there's this idea in Scripture, that in order to be a great Christian, you must embrace time alone. You're there in Matthew 14, look at verse 22. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22, notice what the Bible says about your Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 14 and verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Notice, he just got done preaching to thousands of people. He's sending the multitudes away, but look, he's sending the staff home too. He's saying, hey guys, go get on a ship and go to the other side. You say, why? Verse 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, notice what the Bible says, and I'm showing you one verse, you can find this all throughout the Gospels. He went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. You know that Jesus understood that there was value in alone time? And we find this concept throughout the Bible. Go to Luke chapter 1. You're there in Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. You say, Pastor Manager, you're just trying to get us out to fellowship. No, I'm not. If you walk away from here saying that, you're a liar. I want you to fellowship, but I want you to have healthy fellowship. I want you to have relationships, but I want you to have healthy relationships. I want you to connect, but I want you to have healthy connections that help spiritual growth, not that bring about envy and strife and contentions. Luke chapter 1, verse 80, the Bible says this, and the child, this is John the Baptist, grew and waxed strong in spirit, notice, and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel. You know what's interesting? Jesus found it necessary to get alone. We often see him going out into the wilderness, going out into a mountain, getting up well before the sun comes up, and just being alone and getting alone and spending time with God alone. Here we have John the Baptist. The Bible tells us he spent years alone in the wilderness until the day of his showing. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. You're there in Luke. You're going to go John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. While you go to Galatians, let me read to you out of Exodus chapter 3. And here's why I want to show you these verses, because I want to show you that the Bible is on my side, not yours. You say, I don't know, we need a long time. Yes, you do. Exodus 3:1, and Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, and the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Moses spent 40 years on the backside of the desert alone. John the Baptist spent time in the wilderness alone. Paul gets saved. First thing he does, goes out into the desert of Arabia alone. Galatians 1:16. To reveal his son in me, this is Paul speaking, that I might preach him among the heathen immediately, and I conferred not with flesh and blood. Here's what that means. I didn't go and get connected with people after that. Verse 17, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again into Damascus. You say, how long was he in Arabia? Verse 18, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Paul spent 3 years in the deserts of Arabia alone. John spent his entire life in the wilderness. Moses spent 40 years on the backside of the desert. Jesus spent time alone in the desert, in the wilderness. Why? Because every great Christian learns to spend time alone. Every great Christian learns to get away, to get disconnected, to get around people, to get away from people, and to be able to spend time alone. And here's the point that I'm telling you. There is a danger in spending too much time with people when we develop this lifestyle where it discourages alone time. Where I just can never be alone. I must always be with someone. I must always be doing something. I must always be with people. Look, if that's you, that is not a healthy lifestyle. And you will not accomplish much for God. We have to learn to be able to get away. We have to learn to be able to disconnect. And here's what I'm telling you. Here's what I'm telling you. There is a such thing as a lifestyle that discourages alone time. You say, well, I don't understand, Pastor. What do you mean? How does that discourage alone time? Let me explain to you. My wife and I, obviously I'm the pastor, she's the pastor's wife. My wife and I have people over to our house on a regular basis. We have people over to our house all the time. And when I say all the time, I don't mean like every week, okay? We got 6 kids and we've got a growing ministry and we're busy, all right? But we probably have someone over to our house about once a month. That's what we've been able to kind of do and sustain. And that's what we do. And here's the thing. We are constantly having kind of just new people over to our house. People that are new to the church, we try to have them over to our house. And let me just tell you this. I pastor a growing church, so we are constantly behind on that list. All right? Where you say, Pastor, why haven't you had us over in a while? Man, there are some people that are new to our church. We haven't had them over at all. So you're going to be later on that list, okay? So don't walk out of here with this illustration getting all mad. We're trying to get people, you know, and make it happen, and we're busy, and I hope you understand that. But here's the point that I'm telling you. We have people over to our house on a regular basis. But because of the fact that we have different people over on a regular basis, it allows us from time to time to step back and to have some alone time. You say, what do you mean? Here's what I mean. From time to time, we'll have a busy couple of months. We'll get a little burnt out. We'll need to be able to retreat and to have some recharge time. And there are times my wife and I will sit down and we'll look at the calendar and we'll say, you know what? Let's not have anybody over for the next couple of months. We just can't. We just kind of need the family time. We just kind of need, you know, we're still going to go to church. We're still going to go stoning. We're still going to go to the event. But let's not have anybody over for the next couple of months. Now, here's what's funny about that. When we do that, you have no idea we do that. You don't know when we have people over. You don't know when we stop having people over. You don't know that. Here's why you don't know that, because we have different people over all the time. But what if we had the same couple over every week? What if we had the same couple over every other week? What if we had the same couple over every 3 weeks or every month? You know what would happen? That if I felt busy, if my wife felt a little burnt out, and we thought, man, we got to back up, we got to step back, there would be pressure not to step back because we were thinking, well, what is Brother So-and-so going to think? We have them over every 2 weeks. We go 12 weeks without having them over. Man, they're going to think something. They're going to think something's up. And you can have such a social life that it actually discourages alone time. You say, what's the answer? Here's the answer. Should I stop having time with people? No, just stop having time with the same people. There's 200 people in church this morning. You know all their names? I'm not trying to offend you. I, as a pastor and as a pastor's wife, we try to know all their names. Do you know all their names? Well, then maybe you can get to know some new people. Maybe you can develop some new friendships. Maybe you can have other people over, Help other people along the way. Encourage other new believers. Because here's the point, and here's all I'm trying to tell you. There are some real dangers, not with spending too much time with people. There are some real dangers with spending too much time with the same people. And when your lifestyle, when you're like, well, I'm just going to meet with the same group every week. It's scheduled. It's set. There are some real dangers with that. And when you develop a structure of socialization that actually discourages alone time, therein lies the problem. It is a problem when your social life is so structured in a way that it discourages you from stepping back and having alone time with your wife, with your kids from time to time. Because look, from time to time, you need that. So don't develop this routine and life around you that actually makes it so that you can't spend time alone. Go to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Look at verse 5. And let me speak just specifically to Christian moms. And we've got a lot of homeschool families here. And I said this morning that we had 30 or 40 homeschoolers in our homeschool group. And turns out I was wrong about that. It's more like 50 homeschoolers in our homeschool group, and praise the Lord for it. But you know, when you have 50 homeschoolers, you've got a lot of stay-at-home moms and homeschool moms. And let me tell you something, ladies, you need to learn to be content with being home. Titus 2:5 says this, to be discreet, chaste, don't miss this, keepers at home. This is what God has called you to do. Keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And look, when you have a church, and let me just say, and I'll finish up here in a minute, but let me just say this. When you have a church, when you are part of a church like Verity Baptist Church that has three church services, that has multiple soul winning times, that has activity after activity after activity after activity, to the point where we hire staff to help us keep this activity train rolling. And you still feel like you need to go get together with someone every week, you got to ask yourself, what's going on in your heart that makes you feel like you just have to be with someone all the time? That doesn't disconnect. That isn't content to just be home with your children, with your husband. If you still need to have that, what's the reason that you feel like that? And here, look, here's all I'm telling you. And I'm not mad at you. I'm just trying to help you out. Why you can't tell me? I'm not trying to tell you anything. Why, yeah, you're just trying to say we can't hang out. You hang out with whoever you want. Here's all I'm telling you. If you still feel the need to have regularly scheduled fellowship with the same people every week, make sure it doesn't develop into gossip. I'm not telling you you can't have regularly scheduled fellowship. I'm telling you it better not develop into gossip. I'm not telling you you can't have regularly scheduled fellowship. I'm telling you it better not develop into cliques. I'm not telling you you can't have regularly scheduled fellowship. I'm just telling you you better be able to get alone with God from time to time. You say, well, you can't tell me. Okay. I'm just trying to help you out. Because the issues that end up in my office and the issues that end up when we're in church life, they all come down to these things. And here's all I'm trying to tell you. Have fellowship. Have friends. Develop friendships. It's good to have friends. It's good to have fellowship. It's good to have relationship. But there is a very, very real danger with hanging out with the same people all the time. And look, you might have situations where you can't help it. I remember years ago, and I'm going to say this, and you guys are going to think, and these are people you don't know. They haven't been to our church in years. Years ago, I had a couple of guys, and I had a major battle and issues with these two guys because of the gossip that that these two guys and the clique, and they were holier than thou, and they were better than everybody else because nobody else did it like they did it, and they read the Bible more, and they prayed more, and they whatever. And you know what? These two guys, they were commuters. They commuted together. They just had this thing where they were just together every week for a long time. Nothing wrong with that. I wasn't mad at them for that, but I just told them, hey, because of this situation, make sure you don't get comfortable in gossip. Make sure you don't develop this gang mentality. Make sure you don't get so comfortable. I get it. You're riding with this person to church every week. You're going to spend time together. Make sure you don't get so comfortable that you're actually in sin. Nothing wrong with fellowship. I hope you fellowship. I hope you stick around and fellowship tonight. But realize that there are some very real dangers with spending too much time with the same people. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for our church and for the great work that is being done here. And Lord, from time to time, I have to put on my pastor's hat and teach as a pastor to our people that there are some very real dangers of spending too much time with the same people. And Lord, I pray that we would all take heed to it. I hope that we would all realize that it is good to have friendships and it's good to have relationships and it's good to make friends. But let's make sure those don't develop into something negative. Because fellowship is a good thing, but too much of a good thing can be dangerous. Lord, I pray you'd help all of us be mature enough Christians to heed it, to take it, to receive it, to apply it to our lives. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen.